A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, and joining me now via the phone line is Rob Fisher, Memphis Grizzlies sidelines pre- and post-game host for the Grizzlies on Bally Sports on X at the Fish Nation. Rob, how's it going?
Great, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Before we even get into anything else, I want to wish you a happy 25th birthday, young man. happy,
thank you.
Happy to be able to have you on your birthday, and appreciate you carving out some time.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. When you get to this age, 29, 25, whatever. Birthdays. Working on your birthday is not that big of a deal.
Yeah, so. I hear you. Well, do you have any good plans? We get a good dinner tonight, something like that.
No, gonna do that tomorrow night. Because we've got some work tonight to got to do with Grizz Summer League, but gonna do a little birthday planning tomorrow, and then Sunday head to Dallas for SEC Media Day. So not much time to celebrate. Got to get back out on the road to do a little more work.
Yep. Now Grizzlies are in Vegas. They're gonna be playing Summer League. I think you're gonna be doing pregame for that and talking about it here in not too long, but. Holler at me about Zach Edey. What'd you think of game one? Hard to think anything but, like, grade A.
Yeah, I mean, it's you watch that first game with Zach Edey and you think the same thing that you thought when he was drafted. It was a need, and it's a guy who can step in right away and play. You know, it's interesting. I was listening to John Martin earlier today, and he was saying that, you know, if you would have drafted Dalton Connect or you know, any of the guys that were in that range, you would have had to try and figure out, okay, where are they going to fit? How are they going to fit in? Where are they going to play? Whose minutes are they going to take? Are they going to start? Are they going to come off the bench? Are they even going to play? Are they going to be in the rotation? Well, with Zach Edey, all those questions are answered. Yes, 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 yes. Gonna play, gonna be in the rotation, gonna be your starting center. And he came out in that first game and he showed why. That was great. You know, the thing you want to see from your draft picks when they come into Summer League is you want to see that they don't belong in Summer League.
Right.
And I think after one game, Zach Edey showed he doesn't belong in Summer League.
Yeah, and what just strikes me is, like, the amount of boxes he checked. It's rebounding, screen setting, of course, those are given. He finishes really well, we know about that. But then toughness, rolled his ankle, came back in a minute and a half, and told the medical staff to bug off. Right, he showed it. He showed his ability as an enforcer. Right, like Jake LaRavia gets fouled hard by Bryce Sensabaugh, and he's there trying to back him up. Like, he just checked so many damn boxes. And defensively, one thing we were waiting on: can he be a good rim protector? Four blocks. Like, imagining him and Jaren next to each other. The amount of boxes he checked just, like, completely blew me away.
There was only one. You had to nitpick to find something negative. And I think the only thing you could find by being nitpicky is that he had, what, seven fouls?
Yeah, I think he ended up having six. But, like, if you think about it, one was a technical, And then the other one was that ticky-tack one at the end of the game.
Well, and I mean, there were 66 fouls called in the game.
Right. So,
but, you know, and that's something he's going to have to adjust to. All players have to adjust to. The different rules in the NBA, the different speed of the NBA, and adjusting to fouls. But that, even with that high number of fouls in that first game, that didn't really concern me at all. So, like I said, I think if you're nitpicking and want to find something that maybe, you know, was a concern, maybe that was it. But I don't even really think that was much of a concern either.
Yeah, and I find it interesting, too. And you do the odds couple for Grind City Media, so you follow these things as well. Seeing him immediately take the throne as the Rookie of the Year favorite right after that game was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, you figure there's going to be a rookie who's going to be on a bad team that's going to average close to 20 points a game, right?
That's usually how it works.
Yeah, somebody. And so maybe the numbers would be gaudy for somebody to do it. But if the Grizzlies have the type of year that I expect, and I think most people expect, and he's a starting center for that team, and he's averaging a double-double or close to a double-double, he'll certainly be in the mix because he'll have a big impact on a team that's winning basketball games. So that might give him the edge. But that was kind of exciting to see that after one summer league game, he became the odds-on favorite to win Rookie of the Year after a summer league game. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of exciting, you know, to have someone in the running for that. Like I said, if the Grizzlies have the type of year we're expecting, there's no reason to think that he won't be in the running for it, at least.
Now, what else do you want to see from the rest of the team outside of Zach Edey for the rest of Summer League? I think eyes are really closely focused on G.G. Jackson because that's a guy that most people want to affect the rotation. They want him to be a part of the rotation. Grizzlies want him to be a part of the rotation. What for him, what do you think his biggest sort of concentration, what should he be focused on the rest of Summer League at getting better at?
Defending, ball handling could be another one. I think that's something that everybody, when they go to summer league, needs to work on, especially when the ball's going to be in their hands a lot, is ball handling. We saw it work with Desmond Bane a couple years ago, all the ball handling he did in summer league. I think that could be something beneficial to Gigi. And I say defense, and it's not necessarily like half-court defense. It's getting back on defense after a missed shot. After a turnover, getting back, not hanging your head. I think in that first game we saw it. Now, a lot of it had to do with the fact that Gigi struggled offensively in that first summer league game. And I think it frustrated him to the point where it affected him playing defense.
Right.
Well, that can't happen. Because if you struggle in a regular season game and you just put your head down and don't give the effort defensively, you're going to find yourself on the bench. In game two of summer league, Gigi found himself on the bench, or I guess it was game three of summer league, Gigi found himself on the bench early in the game because he loafed getting back defensively. Those are things that he needs to, I hate to say grow up, but he's 19, so you can still say he needs to grow up. And I think that's where he needs to grow up. It's not letting his offensive struggles follow him on the defensive end. He did come back in that game and finish with three steals. So I think he rebounded pretty well after that quick benching in the first quarter. So that was good to see. He finished with a nice game, 18 points in that game as well. So that I thought that was good. He rebounded well. But that's what I want to see from Gigi. I want to see the all-around player. We know what he's capable of doing offensively. We want to see what he can do when he's not scoring. Where else can he contribute? What else can he do? Because he's not going to get 20 shots a game like he was getting last year. He might get 8 shots a game. So how's he going to, you know, how's he going to deal with getting 8 shots? Can he score on those 8 shots? And also, he's got to do other stuff. And it starts with the defensive end.
So I brought this up, and I think you're sort of referring to it without actually saying it directly. Like, I think there's some concern about G.G. Jackson, like, going into this year. I think he'll be fine. That's my take as of right now, but I think we're lying to ourselves if we just sort of assume that he's going to be a ready-made product coming off the bench, lighting it up for the Grizzlies. Because last year, that role, like you mentioned, it's going to be completely different. And I wonder how that fit is actually going to translate.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, what happens when your role is different? Because he's not going to be your number one priority like he was last year. I mean, he was starting games and he was your number one option. at 19 years old. And what he did was remarkable. 48 games last year and turned himself into a second-team all-rookie, which is incredible.
Right.
But, you know, this year it's not going to be the same role. It's not going to be the same minutes. It's not going to be the same volume of shots. So how is he going to, you know, adjust to that? And I think that's going to be very interesting to see. I don't have concern. I'm interested to see the growth of his game from his rookie year to his sophomore season with his role changing. And, you know, can he force himself into a bigger role on the team? Can he force himself into being a guy that's considered to start on this team or to start maybe a year from now? You know, how can he grow this year without his numbers growing?
Right. Yep.
That's going to be the key for G.G. Jackson.
Yeah,
because his numbers won't be better than they were last year. They're
yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. Now, I wonder, sort of, we'll see what happens with the rest of the roster. Luke Kennard, it seems like, you know, I'm pretty sure he'll sign back with the Grizzlies. We probably would have seen him sign with somebody else if he wasn't going to be back with the Grizzlies. And he's been leaving little breadcrumbs along the way that seem like he's, you know, bought into signing a more team-friendly deal than the $14.8 million option that the Grizzlies ultimately declined. But let's assume that he signs back with the Grizzlies. Would you like to see them do anything else this offseason? I know that some people talk about going to fight a veteran big. Is there anything else that you think the Grizzlies need to attack, you know, after they get Luke Kennard back, or if they get Luke Kennard back?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there. I don't know if there's any room to do much else.
Right.
So I mean that's the number one thing. If they were to move a couple of guys and open up some roster spots, you know, maybe filling in your depth a little bit more. Maybe getting another big. Although, you know, I don't know. You know, Jaren's going to play the five some,
right,
and Brandon Clark's going to play the five, I'm sure, some. So I don't know. I think you're fine. I mean, in an ideal world, sure, I'd like to get another guy that can shoot, another one.
Yeah.
And I'd like to get another big, and I'd like to get a backup point guard. But with what they have option wise, I don't know if any of those are really an option. But you know, hopefully Kennard, this thing does get done, and I think your roster is pretty set. I don't expect anything else. If it is anything else, I think it'll just be small moves to just kind of tinker here and there, and maybe just try and improve your depth of your team. But other than that, I don't think there's much they really need to do.
You know, and it's kind of funny you brought up shooting, backup point guard, and a big. That's their two-way spots right now, right? You have Cam Spencer out there who looked really good in summer league. Scottie Pippen Jr., I really like him. Like, I think eventually, once, you know, the Derrick Rose thing either expires or they feel like there's not anything that they can get more out of Derrick Rose, I think he ought to be converted at some point. And then Trey Jemison, I mean, as a fifth big, I think there are worse options in the world. Now, obviously, you're dealing with game restrictions, but we saw... You know, last year, I think, warped our mind, but it also showed us that those two-way guys can be valuable even if you're a contender.
No doubt. Now, I think they're all capable of playing those roles that I was talking about. And, you know, they'll get that opportunity. And, the game restriction hopefully doesn't even come into play. I mean, it came into play last year because you needed those guys to play and because there were no other options. But... this year, hopefully the game restriction doesn't even come into play. And I'm with you. I really like Scottie Pippen Jr. I think as a third point guard, he's fantastic. And, you know, but what is your second point guard situation? Is it Marcus Smart, Desmond Bane, Luke Kennard? Is it how many games for Derrick Rose? You know, how many games can he play over the course of a season? So, you know, it's kind of up in the air, but I think it's more by committee than anything else. And then you get 50 games with Scottie Pippen Jr., which I think he has shown both last year and shown in summer league again. The thing that I love about him is he's fearless.
Yep.
I mean, he wants the big shots. He'll take the big shots. He'll make the big pass. He just plays basketball the right way. And I think he's been terrific. And I love having him on that two-way. I'm glad he signed a two-year two-way deal. So he's back again this year. And I'm with you. I think once something happens, whether it's another year of Derrick Rose on the roster, or if some other decision were to be made that if that roster spot opens up, I'd be surprised if Scottie Pippen Jr. wasn't converted to a full contract.
And the two important things about him is assist to turnover ratio. Of course, like he limits his turnovers, and that's impressive in itself. Gives you a little bit of Tyus vibes in that regard at setting up offense, but also. He is, I think, the most underrated part of his game. He on ball as a defender on the perimeter, he can go. He's a pest.
Yes. Yes. I mean, it's aggressive all over the floor, I think, on both ends of the floor. And it really shows defensively. And the number of steals that he gets, the job that he can do turning defense into offense. Whether it's his man or someone else's man, the way that he can get back and go the other way. He just does a lot of things right, and I think every time you watch him too, you wonder was his success last year a result of, well, somebody's got to play, somebody's got to put up numbers on a bad team. But I don't think that's the case with Scottie Pippen. I think he's a really good player, and I don't think it was just a matter of he got a chance to play, so he put up numbers. I think he put up numbers because he plays really well.
Yep, 100%. Now, talking with Rob Fisher at the Fish Nation on X, Memphis Grizzlies sideline pre- and post-game host for the Grizzlies on Bally Sports. Now, you're going to be headed to Dallas for SEC Media Days here before long. What are you going to be paying attention to the closest?
The addition of Texas and Oklahoma is huge, and that'll be the big topic in Dallas next week. And I guess my question is, is it all sunshine and roses for those two programs, or are they walking into a gauntlet and something that maybe they don't even expect? So I'm anxious to get the reaction of some of the people there about Texas and Oklahoma coming in. Georgia, can they come back and get back to the top of the SEC? Not having divisions this year, I think, is going to be a big topic on how that's going to shake out with the SEC conference overall. 12 team playoff, how many teams in the SEC realistically believe they have a shot to get in the playoff? I think it's close to half the teams in the SEC.
Right.
So, I think it's going to be an exciting it's just a new venture for the SEC, adding these teams, going to 16 teams and really being the bell cow of all of college football. Not that they weren't before, but I think even more so now. So it's going to be really interesting. And having a new coach at Alabama,
yep.
How big of a factor is that going to be? And a couple of new coaches around the league. So there are a lot of stories, and I'm sure some stories will come up when Greg Sankey visits with the media on Monday and tells us how great the SEC is. But I'm mostly interested in hearing from Texas and Oklahoma and their thoughts on joining this conference.
Now, who do you think are your playoff teams right now out of the SEC? I know you'll probably get that list ready before you officially get there. But like when you're just reading through it, seeing the teams, the power structure of the SEC right now, who are your playoff teams right now?
Let's see. Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss, Missouri?
The fourth one's kind of tough, isn't it? I mean, the fourth one is because I think four will get in ultimately, just based on the way it'll play out. But Mizzou is an interesting one.
Mizzou could be one. Texas, could they be one?
Yes, I would imagine Texas.
Tennessee, could Tennessee be one? That's six right off the bat. I mean, Oklahoma certainly would say that they should be in that conversation as well. I don't know. I think it might be too big of a challenge for Oklahoma in this first year in the SEC. But, I mean, we're at six, and that's just off the top of my head. So I think there are a lot of teams that are going to be saying, I mean, think about it. Big Ten, you'll have, what, two, maybe three.
Uh-huh. I think so.
Big 12, one.
One or two.
ACC, one, two, maybe.
Yeah, Clemson, Florida State probably would be the picks there.
And then you're out of or your non-Power 5 school, so that gets you to seven. That leaves five available. and that's best-case scenario for those other conferences. So I'm thinking at least five from the SEC, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Now, final thing I want to get into is some Major League Baseball. I don't know if you saw it, but Paul Skene starting the All-Star game for the NL,
yep.
Pirates. He's the first rookie who has only been in the league for a year, who got drafted a year ago, first guy to be an All-Star, but he gets the nod. This, I thought it was a great decision by Major League Baseball and by Torey Lovullo, who Diamondbacks manager, who's ultimately going to coach the All-Star team, the NL All-Star team. That was the best possible scenario that they could have put out there. I think it actually brings eyes and excitement to a game that needs it pretty severely.
The game's for the fans, and you want to see the best play, and I think you're seeing the best play. I think the fans have done a nice job voting, really, the last couple of years, getting the best players in. And to have this guy, to showcase him as a starter, I think is great for baseball. I mean, what he's done has been incredible since he's been called up. Two times now he's had a no-hitter where he's been pulled from the game with a no-hitter in seven innings, which is incredible. The problem is he throws too many pitches because he strikes out too many guys.
Yep.
But he's Dan Plesac from MLB Network was talking about him yesterday and said he's the best young pitcher he's ever seen as far as control of just the control of his pitches and how every pitch has a purpose. And to watch him pitch, the movement he's got on the baseball, the speed he's got when he can reach 102, it's just remarkable. And he keeps batters off, keeps them on their heels, makes them take terrible swings, blows it by them. I mean, does a little bit of everything. It's going to be great to see him matched up against the best players in the American League to start that game. And to see what he's going to be able to do. I can't wait to see it. I've watched almost every one of his starts this year because he is electric to watch. He's a must-watch player
yep.
in Major League Baseball.
Now, how did you feel about him getting pulled yesterday in particular? Seven innings, 11 strikeouts, 99 pitches, gets pulled out after the seven innings. I thought he could have got a little bit more leash than that. I think that there is certain situations where you can throw a guy out there and see it. I mean, 120 pitches, sure, pull the guy out. But I think you could if you're under 100 pitches through seven innings, I think you should give a guy a little bit more runway.
Yeah, I guess my feeling is if he's not going to go nine, what's the difference?
Uh-huh.
Because if they would have thrown him out there for eight and all of a sudden now he gets up to 115 pitches, he's definitely not going out there for the ninth. So If you're not going to go the distance with them, what's the point? It's disappointing as a baseball fan, just the thought of a guy having a no-hitter and being pulled from a game. Times have changed. The game is different now. But as a rookie pitcher, and both times he's been pulled from a no-hitter, I think the first time he had 94 pitches, I believe it was, and then this one it was 99 pitches. It makes sense. He's a rookie. I'd love to see him keep going and love to
right.
see him go for it. But I guess it makes sense to me, and I don't really have too big of a problem with it just because that's where we are in baseball today. That's how we do things now, and it's just different than it used to be, and we have to accept that.
Yeah, now we were texting last night when I was scheduling this today. And I was I brought you on, partly to talk about some Grizz Summer League and all this stuff. I wanted you, though, to make sense of the Cardinals being 23rd, minus 38 in run differential, but still holding a wild card spot in the NL. I mean, they seemingly don't have good players right now. Like, that's the thing that just strikes me. Mason Wynn's been solid as a rook. But, like, outside of that, it's insane. They only have one all-star. That's Ryan Helsley. And they're still somehow kicking around in a playoff spot right now. It makes no real sense to me on the surface.
No, well, here's why it should make sense to you. And I think we talked about this last time I was on. this is a team that should compete for the division. This is a team that should compete, if not for the division, for a wild card. And they're doing that, but that's all they're good enough for.
Right.
That's all, I think, coming into the season, that's all they were good enough for. I think right now that's all they're good enough for, is to compete for a wild card spot, be around a 500 team, a little bit better than 500, and compete for a wild card spot. Now, the reason why they're able to do that with having a team that doesn't seem very good and some of their big stars haven't really had great seasons yet, I think the reason why they're doing it is their starting pitching has been better, and then their bullpen, 7th, 8th, and 9th inning, they're lights out. Between Kittredge, Romero, and Helsley, I mean, you get to the 7th inning against the Cardinals, it's very difficult to score on them. So I think that's given them a chance every single night, that if they have a lead, they can shut the door. And they've been able to do that for the most part this season. So I think that's been the biggest part. They've done a much better job in the last, 4 weeks of some timely hitting and being able to get some runs across with runners in scoring position. So that's given them a better chance to win. So they're doing things that are giving them a chance to win. I don't think the ceiling's very high for this team, and that's my problem. I think they're exactly where I thought they'd be at the beginning of the season, and I think that's kind of where they're stuck as well.
Yeah. Now you have to spend money ultimately in this day and age in Major League Baseball to go win. Like, we've seen that consistently. Do you think the Cardinals will ever get back to the spending that they did sort of in the 2010s, like early 2000s? Because it feels like they're just at this point where they're moneyballing every single year and they seem completely complacent doing that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have confidence in them making big moves at the trade deadline. I've been frustrated over the last, 3-4 years of Cardinals being in on every guy and being in on every trade, and then nothing comes to fruition. I wish that they would improve. I wish they'd get a better bat in the lineup. There are too many guys that are just outs in that lineup, and I wish they could get another bat in the lineup, but the problem is I don't know what they have to give up. You know, the minor leagues are not stacked for the Cardinals at all. The big league roster, I don't know how much you have to give away that's actually worth anything on your big league roster as well to get a big time bat. So I don't know. I don't know if there's much they can do. And I don't really expect them to do much at the trade deadline. And we've seen from the Cardinals here recently that they feel like if they feel like they're in position, they'll just let it go. I mean, John Mozeliak famously last year said, "We just got to get hot.
Just got to get hot." Yep.
I guess that was 2 years ago.
Yep.
And they did get hot at the end of the year and made the postseason. But and then flamed out in the postseason. This is a team that has been underwhelming and flat-out disappointing in the postseason for a handful of years now. It's been a long time since this team's had any success in the postseason, and if they don't make moves, I don't think they'll be successful this postseason either.
Yep, I hear you. I hear you. Well, Rob, enjoy your weekend. Happy birthday again. Appreciate you joining.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Anytime.
Yes, sir. That is Rob Fisher at The Fish Nation on X.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.